Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to My Point Is. It is Sunday, September 10th. I almost said Friday, September 10th, but it is Sunday, September 10th. You got two happy guys right here because one guy had his Texas Longhorns beat Alabama, and then, of course, my Florida State Seminoles destroyed Southern Miss, but that was expected. But hello, welcome Sunday morning, week one of the NFL as well, so it's a good day. But Cam, how are you?
Hey, man. I'm feeling good. You don't want to live in the past, right? But I've had to deal with a couple of like real sports hangovers. So I grew up in San Antonio. So of course, like Ray Allen hitting that shot. I mean this when I say this. I'm not being hyperbolic. I did not sleep well for a year. It was rough, man. And what's crazy, it's the same day that Kanye's, I think Yeezus came out the same day. And I was a huge Kanye fan back then. So like the song Bound 2 is stuck in my head watching Ray Allen hit that shot. It's rough. You know what I'm saying? So it was a great comeback. I graduated University of Texas 2008. So I was very much attached to the 09 team. Like I used to see Colt McCoy on campus and Colt McCoy, or, you know, he's a white quarterback. So he thinks about what he thinks about of the world. You know, you can't fight that. But Colt McCoy was Division I head nodder on campus. Because when I was at UT, UT was literally 1% black, including the athletes. So even the white athletes would show you love because they would always see you around their teammates. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I love Colt McCoy. I hated seeing Colt McCoy go down to the natty, you know, and the trajectories change from that point, right? So it was great to see the guys go out there and do what they did yesterday. It was great to see Quinn Ewers, moonball god, throw that ball up and Worthy go get it. I love seeing Whittington do well. Our defense is really stacked. It was great, man. And again, what really is great for me, I saw this team last week in 1,000-degree weather. So, like, I already have that personal attachment to the team. So I feel good. I feel really good for sure.
You also have this personal attachment that I saw that you tweeted out.
Listen, I'm not conference guy and this conference is great. I love that So Deion's son, Shedeur Sanders, had a really great soundbite where he was like, the skill positions are not different at the HBCU level and the FBS level. It's the interior. It's the lineman. The lineman is the difference. Like, people forget, like, John Cena was a D3 lineman, and John Cena is as strong as an ox. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's speed and talent at that level. And Texas really showed that they have the linemen. Like, they have the D-line that can stop the run. They have the O-line that can stop the pass rush. And that's everything. You know what I'm saying? So it was great to see talent and coaching really come through. Fuck the SEC. I don't give a fuck about no conference online. Fuck them. It don't matter. But
So I know, like, people that will listen to this later, they don't know what I just showed, but it says, can Texas hang with the SEC? Quote, you tell me, Mason Dixon dickhead, quote, listen, Seahawk.
I want to say this, Rob, while I got you. We are under a very specific umbrella, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have Fightful tattooed on my lower back, but...
Oh, you don't?
Okay. But
part of the agreement, so
get Robbie, ready. My man, Kate is my girl, Grab City, those are my dogs, Sean is my man, so it's not us against them, but there is this thing in our community where the people who feel like they are have-nots feel the need to take shots.
Oh, yeah.
They really do, and it's like, everybody can eat. I saw a tweet that was like, when do I get to be one of the cool kids? And listen, you get to be who you are any day of the week. Like, it's never an us against y'all thing. That's not what this is. It is, like, do good work. It gets recognized. I do not recall anybody who's done good work who this umbrella has ever tried to bring down about their work. Like, everybody can eat. It's never that deep. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah. I'm just glad I got to say that out loud. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of backroom conversations about where we exist in the space. And, listen, it's not no beef for nobody. Everybody can eat, baby. It's not that. And I'm not going to chill with, there's no SEC hate. You shouldn't claim a conference. It's dumb. Like, yeah. I don't claim the NFC East as some Aragon. I claim Washington. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Anyway, but okay, Rob, keep it.
So let's talk some wrestling. That's why a lot of people are here. So I want to say thank you guys for joining us. Get your questions in Super Chat or Humper Chat. We greatly appreciate it. It helps support this show. It helps keep Seahawk around. We had a conversation before this show started. Well, first off, did you get to watch Collision last night after the game?
So here's how I was about Collision last night. I looked at the rundown for Collision. So I text Rick. I said, Rick, are you on Collision tonight? He's like, yes, I'm on Collision. I said, okay, don't say nothing else. Okay, cool. But I did catch it. Again, I love the spot that he's in. Bryan Danielson, man, he is. I saw a report earlier that he might just have like one full year really left, you know? But Bryan Danielson is such a linchpin, you know? He is such, he's the glue to so many things. And, you know, Moxley defended the international title. Love that. Jade came back. I know we're going to talk more about that. But yeah, man. It's such a good show. Like, I have to watch it in the periphery when Texas is beating the shit out of Alabama. But yes, I did catch it and I did enjoy the show for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, last night when, I had three things going on. I had one monitor on Florida State, Southern Miss. I had the other game, Alabama, Texas on. And then I had Collision going. And, you know, it was just like one of those things where I'm just like, okay, whoa, there it is. Okay, big screen. Let's go to Jade Cargill.
Yeah, man.
Jade gets a big screen. I love football, but Jade gets a big screen. man.
It was so, let me be careful, but when reports came out about Jade leaving wrestling, I had different information.
Yeah.
And I made it a point to make sure that information was known because this is something she loves. This is something she appreciates. And so it was great to see her back, man. And listen, there's a lot of talk about, man, I wish Jade would go for the AEW Women's World title. It's like, look, AEW and WWE is getting around to it, but AEW does an amazing job of making all the titles feel valuable. When I was growing up, you know, the U.S. heavyweight title and the Intercontinental title were my favorites because those were the workhorse titles. Like, to borrow a line from Michael Cole, that's where you saw the best wrestlers. Like, listen, my best wrestlers, or my favorite wrestlers, are the three H's, at least were, Hart, Hennig, Hall. And where did they make their bones? The Intercontinental Championship.
Yep.
Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Booker T, Ric Flair. Throw any name you want out there. The U.S. heavyweight title in WCW were the best matches on the card week in and week out. And so Jade really wanting to get her lick back from Stat, I love that. Yeah. I love that. Make belts important. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. And it was good to see her back because that was the thing there. I knew she was coming back. I just didn't know when. I mean, there's all kinds of rumors out there. Like, some said that she was taking the summer off to be with her kid, to have summer break with her kid, and she'd be back sometime in the fall. So it's cool. Like, she doesn't owe anything to anybody. If she wants to take time off, cool. That's great. I'm happy she's back.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic that she gets to spend time with her kid.
She treats this shit like a job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I Jade really appreciates wrestling, but Jade also knows if wrestling went away tomorrow, she could make money 92 different ways.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I like, she treats it like a job. I if wrestling had 3 months off a year, it might affect our money a little bit, Rob, but I would not complain about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love that she got to take time away and come back. I hope that, and listen, AEW and WWE have recently been really good about this. Bianca Belair is getting time off right now. Like, that should happen more. I hope that becomes more the standard, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And it'll be interesting to see with what, I mean, we'll get into that here in a second, with WWE and UFC merger being complete this coming Tuesday, supposedly, or reportedly, that's when it's going to be completed. But yeah, you know, Jade Cargo being back is going to add a lot more excitement to the women's division, which is needed in AEW. I'm just hoping they get the time that they need. It's something that a lot of people have been going after AEW for, and it's something that is, it's needed. You know, it's definitely needed because there's a lot of fans that have not been happy by it. And yeah. And they do deserve more time because there's a lot of wrestlers that I like that I don't get to see. And I would be upset too. Like, you know what I mean? If I just didn't get to see these people week in, week out, and there's so many different ones. So you get represented by, I'm trying to phrase this the best way possible, but when you see all these wrestlers that you love to watch week in and week out, and you only get one like match of it per week, it sucks. Like, it just does. So I understand, and I hope Jade Cargill being back, that adds more to the women's division. They get more time because that's good.
I think, like, there were three women's segments last night on Collision. And I hope, like, that turns into matches. Like, shout out to the Renegade Twins. Two of the sweetest girls I've ever met in wrestling. They are fantastic young women. Shout out to them, like, for getting that spot. But you got so much talent, man. Like, there's a real question There's a real question about how Tony Khan feels about women's wrestling. There really is. And I don't think it's disingenuous to ask why you can't have two women's matches on a show. There is a question about, does two turn into three, three turn into four? Are you asking for too much? But you can just put two on a show. Putting two on a show, I feel like, would shut up so many people. But, you know, that's not the prerogative right now. But, yeah, I hope so, too. I hope that the toughest thing about having a women's division that has one match a week is that you have trouble building up credible challengers because nobody else is doing anything, you know? So I just think that would be an effective method of keeping that division strong by showing that the division exists outside of just one match a week.
Yeah, for sure. So moving on, we're going to talk about some main event, like 2024 main events, to get some thoughts. We're just kind of spitball here, what we think. Because Brian Danielson, he kind of like helped bring this forward a lot more last night with this challenge to Zack Sabre Jr. And at Wrestle Dream coming up. That's a dream match we've been clamoring for a while. A lot of us have been clamoring for. So it made me think, you know, what are some other dream matches that we want to see, like in 2024? Or what are some matches we think, not necessarily dream matches, what are matches we see realistically happening in 2024? Do we see a Mercedes Moné versus, let's say, Jamie Hayter or Jade Cargill, per se, like at Double or Nothing? Do you see that happening? Do you see in 2024, let's say, Double or Nothing, do you see that match happening?
I'd love to see a healthy Hayter and a healthy Mercedes Moné. I think that Mercedes and Sheeta is really like, that's the first one I want to see. That kind of jumps out to me, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when I look at like Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks, that Bianca Belair needed seasoning to get there. And I also think that the now Mercedes Moné can put anybody in a good match. Like, it's going to be solid if she's in it, right? Again, Sheeta blew me away watching her in person last December. She really blew me away. I'd love to see her Mercedes. You know, with Jade, it's always a fever dream for me, but I always mispronounce her name. Is it Gulia or Julia?
I've been calling her Julia, but...
Yeah, but listen.
It Julia, sounds like... Yeah, Julia.
She's the coolest. Like, I try to explain to people, like, there's pretending to be cool and there's cool. And she's the coolest. I really would love to see her and Jade. A difference in size, but, like, Julia with that real speed. Right? Like, I would love to see that next year on the women's side. Yeah. Like, it's so weird with women's wrestling. I do not watch a lot of New Japan. I don't watch a lot of Stardom. And so I am limited on who I know over there. And WWE has people locked up for so long, it's really tough, right? Yeah. But, yo, Julia, Jade, that's the one. But I'd love to see Mercedes and Sheeta before anything else. But anything Jamie Hayter does is gold. So
yeah,
she's going to work, like, however. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, too. Like, I think you have Sheeta versus, I think a good feud with Jade and Sheeta would be fantastic. You know, there's things like that. I think it would be great. And who knows? I was hoping, like, the booker, like the fan in me that was booking, what I was hoping for was, like, when they were doing this Outcast stuff, I was actually hoping this was their way to bring Jade Cargill to the next level. Like, let her be the one that comes in and just destroys the Outcast. Yeah, that's the way I looked at it. Like, that's the way you could get her to be the, like, world champion. That was the WWE part of me, like, looking into it for the Survivor Series aspect. that's how you build it. I mean, she's already a huge star, like I think in AEW, but there's a way you could just elevate that. And I like how Jade is. I like how you said it. Jade's still going after her. She wants to get her payback in on Chris Statlander first, which is great. But I'm also excited for her to go after that AEW world title
for soon.
So it's going to be good. So the next one, we'll go move on over to WWE for this one. A lot of people want to know. I still think it's less than 25%. But do you see... Well, let me ask you this first. What is your main event for WrestleMania next year? I have it being Roman Reigns and Cody. I just have a feeling that's it.
How bold of you?
Yeah, you like that? I'm a rebel.
Yeah. That is absolutely my main event for sure.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are like, well, do you see? Okay, so here's one. The only way I see CM Punk being part of WrestleMania weekends if it's like a Hall of Fame for AJ Lee. That's how I feel right now. I that's just the way I think it is. Could it be completely different? I suck at predicting, so yes, I could be way off. I could be. I'm just going based on what WWE. I'm going based off how Vince McMahon and Triple H, I think, and that's me thinking how they feel about CM Punk. Now, that could change because money, and there's people in charge. There's one person ahead of Vince now. I mean, you got that, but then there's also people ahead of Triple H now, too. So, what do you see CM Punk being in WWE? We talked about this last week a lot, but and do you see him be part of a WWE event in 2024?
What I didn't take into consideration is there's a bunch of people with a bunch of money who don't give a fuck about backstage problems.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like,
yeah,
they don't care. CM Punk's a hot commodity, man. Like, outside of everything, CM Punk's a hot commodity. People want CM Punk around. CM Punk moves the needle, so to speak. And listen, Rob, you and I are of a certain age. When I was a kid, it didn't make sense that Terrell Owens could take the locker room away from Donovan McNabb when I was a kid. But then I became an adult and realized that when you're an adult at work, lives are different, opinions are different, feelings are different, right?
Yeah.
This is not a situation where feelings will prevail.
Yeah.
Like, CM Punk would be a cog in the machine. He can't, like, motivate people to feel the way. Like, look, AEW is dope. I like AEW. I watch AEW twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
Friday nights are occupied. But Tony Khan has yet to run a tight ship. And maybe getting rid of CM Punk is the start of running a tight ship, right? But it's not a situation where the employees feel like they have to answer to management at this point. So CM Punk in an environment where he has less say but more money is probably going to work out for everybody. It would be a great surprise. And listen, man. I don't think CM Punk isn't a team player. I think everybody's a team player on the right team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody's a team player on the right team. And so I really feel like they could bring him back 2024, man. And
they could. Look, yeah.
He's not going to – listen, CM Punk being there is not going to convince my man Tony D'Angelo and Stax to revolt against Triple H. And HBK, that's not how it's going to work.
No,
right? So shit, why not?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you know, Finn Balor, he had a good comment about it.
He's like, I wish I had my broom right here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's how most. That's honestly how I think most wrestlers would look at it. I mean, I really do, because Kevin Owens has made a similar comment before. Like, pay me, you know. And I know the Young Bucks are his friends. I get that. But also, the man has a family, you know?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where...
Do you know how expensive it is to eat healthy?
I've been trying.
Yeah. Finn Balor needs to buy heads of lettuce every week and just chew on those to keep those 92 abs. He will wrestle anyone. Give him the bread, baby. Give him the money.
Yeah, it's... yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if Finn Balor would do it, there's a lot of wrestlers that would do it. They would sign up. Seth Rollins, like, he might not like him, but for money, like, he would do it because he knows how big of a he's a company guy. We know that. And B, he knows he's going to get, he knows it's going to put that name on the mat, on the marquee, rather. That's going to do it. You also have Roman Reigns would, I can't speak for these guys. I'm just thinking how they would do it. I'm sure Roman Reigns would work with him, even though he probably wouldn't want to, but you know, you'd got to do something. Sometimes you got to do a lot of things you don't want to do. And I think CM Punk would at a whole different level to WWE, like another as popular as they are right now with their ticket sales, they're breaking records week in and week out as Fightful Select reports almost every week. They're breaking one kind of record. Obviously, it'd be great for numbers for WWE and UFC, or Endeavor, rather.
It's really interesting. I'm looking in the chat right now. Like, somebody, shout out to Michael Rubin. Michael made the point and then made the other point. Seth Rollins doesn't like CM Punk. Seth would work with him, though. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like, look, Seth don't like Riddle. You know what I mean? These are people who diverge on how they feel about the world, and they went in there and did business because that's what it is, man. Like, look, I hate that we treat wrestling like anything other than a job.
Yeah.
I understand it's a job where people go to work half naked, and a lot of their success is based on how loud people who see them half naked cheer or boo them. I totally understand that. However, it is still a job where you don't have autonomy to just not work with people unless you're in the very highest position. And even then, somebody like Seth Rollins, and listen, I've never met Seth Rollins. I don't want to psychoanalyze Seth Rollins, but it seems like Seth Rollins wants to be the guy who is a workhorse,
yeah,
who shows how hard you can work and how you can sacrifice for success. It seems that way, right? So Seth Rollins being like, hey, I will swallow my pride and work with this guy. Exactly. That's what he's going to do, because that's supposed to set an example for everybody below Seth Rollins. So, yeah, for sure.
Yep. So, yeah, there's so much to it. Going back to, I mean, we didn't get to talk because of, like, All Out was last week, so we didn't get to talk about All Out. What, but Kenny Omega, obviously Kenny Omega's fine. Like, him taking that loss is not going to hurt him in the long run.
They're fantastic to match too. Shout out to Takeshita.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So my question there is, Kenny Omega, I think he's going to go on another title run before he retires for AEW. Or before he's done with AEW. I don't know how long he has, because who knows with this man? I mean, he's talked about
how he was in an iron lung a year ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
And just, I mean, he was dropped on his head last week, you know, a week and a half ago, you know, or was it last week? Jeez, I can't even remember. It seemed, but you know, just things like this. You never, and that's the thing. And my point is, you never know in wrestling. You never know when your last match could be.
Did you say your point is?
Yeah. See, got that in there. I want to see him go on another run, but I'm always going to be disappointed that we did not get the CM Punk versus Kenny Omega match. And the fact that the, you know, Sean always says that anything could turn into a work, right? Mm-hmm. this has about 1% of turning into a work. That's just the way it's gone down. I look at it like it's officially done. There's never a 0%, but I'm looking at it like at a 1%.
Yeah. It Kenny Omega's output is just still at an insane level that I don't know what favors that would have done CM Punk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say slow and plodding because that's not fair. But CM Punk at this juncture has a very deliberate style. CM Punk's always had a pretty deliberate style. He would tell you himself, he's not run fast, jump high guy, right?
Yeah.
It would have been an interesting feud specifically. But like him and Moxley, I think, was interesting. My thing with CM Punk was this. I'm a big fan of Westerns. I've always have been a big fan of Westerns. I thought that they did Last Outlaw way better than WWE did with The Undertaker. I really liked CM Punk trying to figure it out every month as he got back to being who he was supposed to be. So I don't know if, like, I don't feel cheated out of that match. I feel cheated out of the finality of Ricky Starks and CM Punk.
Yeah,
that was... I will not elaborate any further on that.
Yeah, I know.
I feel cheated on that.
That was honestly where I was going, and then I'm like, you know what? I don't
it's
know.
It's the younger talent, though. It's the younger talent. I people who are younger than CM Punk in years and experience are more what I feel like I missed out on. Tony Storm told me dream matches aren't real. So I try to be careful with that. But I do feel like he could have done way more. And listen, I don't think CM Punk was trying to sabotage anybody younger than him. Except, you know, curly hair kid. But you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's where we really cheated, because whoever got over on him would have been important.
Yeah. Guys, send in those super chats or humper chats. It really supports our show. It gets us to stay on this show, so we greatly appreciate that. Man, going on to, you know, that's the thing, like you just said about what Toni Storm said. Toni Storm's doing just fantastic work right now. Obviously, she's always been fantastic. I just,
that is that. A crazy lady. She's great. Yeah,
she's great. She's so crazy. She's great. But I mean, that's the thing. They're dream matches. So I mean, she's right. There's a point. They're not real, but we want them to be real. And I think that's what makes things exciting for the wrestling fan to an extent. You know, like, we have that hope that we get to see this. I think it's more hope than it is dream, you know? I guess, if that makes any sense. Because I have a lot of hope that we get to see the. I have hope that we get to see.
She doesn't run my life. Dream matches are still real. She's not.
No, I'm just saying. But no.
Well, but I'm with you. I'm with you.
But I'm. If she wanted to run mine, I'd sign up for it. Okay, I'm just saying. No, I'm kidding there. But it's disappointing. Like, I mean, I know you're disappointed because of no Ricky versus CM Punk. I'm disappointed that I never got to see. I'm disappointed for a lot of matches that I didn't get to see CM Punk have an AEW that I wanted. I actually thought that we would see him have a feud with. This is gonna sound crazy. I was hoping we'd get him in a feud with Christian again.
Oh, that'd be great.
I was hoping for that. Great. I thought it would be.
Christian is still at the peak of his powers. Yeah. Like, listen. Captain Charisma was I've had favorite wrestlers. I don't know if I've had a favorite wrestler I've liked more in a moment than Intercontinental Title era Christian. He's amazing. He's incredible.
Well, and this is kind of going like into the personal thing, but I was saying to somebody about 3 weeks ago, I go, if they get Christian K or if they get CM Punk out of the world title picture, but they want to put him in the title picture, Christian with this whole father thing, CM Punk does not have a relationship with his father, but I don't know how he is talking about that and how he would react. But that's where I said Christian and CM Punk could have a feud that would just elevate AEW a little bit more, I think. Because if you get two people, if people hear, like, what, Christian and CM Punk are still, you get that average fan that's, or not even average fan, people that just haven't watched in forever, talking, like, what do you mean you CM Punk and Christian are, like, going at it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you just get that, those two going back on the, back and forth on the mic. That was just me speculating. I'm like, that's where they can move CM Punk away from the world title picture. Let him go into the TNT title, but whatever. But man, so we, something else that we were going to talk about to move on from wrestling for a few minutes were our top 90s action flicks.
Yeah.
So, guys, put in chat some of your favorite 1990s action flicks. We want to hear this. But Cam, what is like one of the movies that you just, if you needed to watch 90s action flick, what is the one, what is one of them that you just grab? Okay.
So if you know me, if you follow my writing at all, if you watch my tweets, anything, Blade 2 is my favorite movie, period, but it's also my favorite action movie, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to dig a little bit deeper, Blade 2 is why I'm uncredited but credited in Shea Serrano's latest book, his action movie scouting report. Because in Blade 2, Blade does a delayed vertical suplex. And Shay reached out to me and was like, Cam, what is this move called? What is the rest of the move that Blade does? And so we talked about that. But Blade 2 is my favorite action movie. It is this thing where the titular character becomes a bit larger than life, has to deal with a problem literally bigger than him, and goes through rage, goes through terror, goes through love, goes through loss, like all in the scope of 90 or so minutes. Blade 2 is my favorite action movie to ever exist. It's incredible. And it's 2002.
That was good.
All that said. Like, yeah. You know what's funny? If I had to go 90s, though, like, yeah. Terminator 2 is like a cheat code, right?
Yeah.
I love Last Action Hero. I love that movie so much. Because, again, like, we're kids at that time. You feel like Danny going to the movies, and then you're in the movie, like, with Jack Slater and his daughter. Last Action Hero from the 90s. I love it so much.
Yeah, and then you got
Kindergarten Cop. But anyway.
Yeah, Kindergarten Cop. Yep. Yeah. Jeez, man. Last Action Hero is good back in the day. I mean, that movie had my guy Jean-Claude Van Damme. You know, like, he had a cameo in it. You know, there's just, that was like one of my favorite movies. And my favorite action movie in the 90s was Hard Target with Jean-Claude Van Damme. I was a Jean-Claude Van Damme. I still like Jean-Claude Van Damme. But that was my guy. Hard Target was my movie. I snuck into the theater to see it. First rated R movie I ever snuck in to see by myself. But there's other ones like Demolition Man I see in here. Love that one. Demolition Man's great. I remember wanting to eat Taco Bell for like every day, like after seeing that movie. The Die Hard is another one. Now here's a question. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Fuck yeah, Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
Hell yeah, it is.
Like Friday After Next, Christmas movie.
Yeah.
No, Die Hard's absolutely a Christmas movie. It's a Christmas, listen. If you work in corporate America at all, you understand the significance of the corporate Christmas party.
Yes.
Die Hard's absolutely a Christmas movie. The problem is too many of y'all have these vanilla Christmases where everything goes great. I've had some bad Christmases, baby. They don't all end in mistletoe and reindeers and gingerbread cookies, okay? Die Hard is absolutely a Christmas movie. It's not even close. For sure.
It is. It's a great one. It's It's a Christmas movie for sure. Because the way I look at it, I tell people, if the movie's talking about Christmas and there's Christmas trees and it takes place in December, it's Christmas movie. I mean, that's just the way it is.
It's not even a question.
Yeah.
Batman Arkham Knight is a Halloween game.
Yeah.
It happened on Halloween. Like,
yeah.
What are we talking about?
Yeah.
And who gave you a red cup, Rob? That's really the question.
Private party.
It better be not private party. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Be professional.
Yeah. Well, yeah, here we go. And I said private party, but I meant Street Profits. But
that's racist. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, shit. So you know another movie that I really enjoyed, and I can't stand the guy? Under Siege.
I don't have the vitriol for Steven Seagal that a lot of people do, except have you seen Exit Wounds with him and DMX?
Oh, hell yes.
That's when I realized he was a lazy piece of shit. Yeah. Yo, you dodged the bullet? He dodged the bullet and he just moved the gun. I was like, yo, he sucks. Yeah. I think that what we're going to miss out on, like not us, but what our children are going to miss out on is martial artist actors hating each other because like, we don't have a bunch of them anymore. Like we don't have American or even like American crossover action stars the way we used to. So like, you know, they said everybody hated each other and they used to whoop each other on set and all that. We'll never get that again. So that kind of sucks. Yeah. But you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The crossover action now, like Liam Neeson's like one of the only ones that you see like just do pretty much straight action movies. But now he just did a drama not too long ago that just absolutely bombed. But I mean, but you're right. It just, we don't see that anymore. And then the ones you do are straight to digital or DVD, but straight to digital now, you know? So it's crazy. Like Nicolas Cage, like he does those straight to voodoo, like non-theater movies for the most part. I mean, he did Renfield, which was good, but.
Yeah. And shout out to Amir in the chat. Fun story. If I marry this woman, Machete will be my cousin. So look out for that. That'll be a fun stream. we did a stream one time and we called him on FaceTime and he talks like this and he was like, hey, cousin, what's going on? It was great. But yeah, Steven Seagal, for all his faults, was amazing as Mexican cartel overlord in Machete. Excellent series of movies, for sure.
I have a cousin that was in a movie with Machete. He was, or she was, and From Dusk Till Dawn, she was one of the dancers that got to keep her clothes on, thank God.
I didn't want you to, I was going to let you keep going.
Yeah, no, like, no, I was, no, she kept her clothes on, thank God. Oh. That would, otherwise I would never watch that movie again.
That can be difficult, I understand.
Yeah. And that's a movie too that I absolutely love, but that's a more of a scary movie, I guess, horror movie. I don't consider it that scary, but anyways, I mean, I see a lot of people bringing up different like films, and that's kind of what I wanted to see what people thought because.
I saw Demolition Man a bunch in the chat. Amazing film, yeah. Amazing film. That's probably like where my Sandra Bullock crush started.
Yep.
Yeah. So like, Rob, I wasn't a Rocky kid. You know what I mean? Like Rocky was enough before my time to where I wasn't super invested like in Rocky until I was an adult. But I did like Sly Stallone a lot. So Demolition Man was kind of my peak for him, you know? Mm-hmm. I love that movie. And I'm a huge Wesley, like again, Blade 2, my favorite movie. It's in my byline. So mm-hmm. like, yeah, I Demolition Man was great. What they did with Taco Bell, whatever they were doing with the shells is crazy.
Yeah, I was just going to say the shell thing. Nope. Yeah. I don't think so, Tim.
Yeah, a little strange. But like,
yeah.
My favorite movie that was better the second time around is Judge Dredd, because I think Dredd with Carl Urban is an it's one of the best action movies ever made. I think that it did this unique thing where following an action movie for one day, just one day, can be an incredible piece of cinema. I like the first Judge Dredd. I don't watch Rob Schneider movies anymore.
No, nope, I don't either.
That hurt? Remember yeah. when he was like the guy?
Yeah, like I mean, I look like one of my favorite like sports movies is Necessary Roughness.
Love know? It. Shout out to the fake Texas State. So, guys, the reason they could do Texas State back then is because Texas State was not a school. The Texas State that exists now, that was on ESPN yesterday, that is in San Marcos, which is 40 minutes south of me, exists basically in the middle of San Antonio and Austin. It was Southwest Texas State. They literally changed the name of the school so that it had more prestige, so that the students who graduated would have better job opportunities, right? But no, Texas State with Scott Bakula at quarterback, Sinbad on the D-line, I love Necessary Roughness. An incredible movie.
Jason Bateman.
Shout out to Jason Bateman. Wow. Yeah. Jason Bateman.
Yeah. Wide receiver.
Incredible move.
Kathy Ireland.
Yeah. She was the kicker, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Incredible
move. Yeah. You get that one line at the end of the movie, like, they won't touch you or whatever. Like, the offensive lineman says he won't get to you or he won't touch you.
What if he got sacked on that play? Like, football players lie all the time. That would have been great.
I love it too.
Getting into a bar fight that you can't win is hilarious. As somebody who's been in one or two bar fights, maybe just one or two, I properly analyzed the scene before I was in them. Had to, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I'm the one that tries to. I haven't, luckily, I haven't. Never mind. I have been in one, but never mind. I'm not going there.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Varsity Blues, I see in here. That was a good 90s flick. Not an action one, but still a great movie.
So. Varsity Blues, they filmed it. The strip club that they filmed it in is 20 minutes south of me. Like shout out to what is it called? It's the Landing Strip. Because, of course, it's the Landing Strip. Absolutely.
Well, scouting location, huh?
I have a specific perspective on strip clubs. It's the same way that Juicy J feels about them. If you know, you know.
Oh, there's a good one. Broken Arrow, that with John Travolta and Christian Slater. That was a fun one.
John Travolta was a great villain. In so many movies, he really was. You know, that's kind of at the peak of pre 9/11 military worship, you know what I mean? And so, military people going rogue, was in vogue at the time. It's a great, like, he beat the shit out of Christian Slater in that boxing match at the beginning of the movie. My god, he whooped his ass. That's a great movie, absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. Just so we move on to our
next... The answer is yes, Frantic World, because they filmed that in Austin. So, yes.
Nice. Okay. So the one about Friday Night Lights? Is that...
The TV show, yes.
Okay, cool. So, like, in a little bit, we're going to play an interview that Cameron had with Vinny...
Pacifico. Yeah, yep.
So we're gonna play that here in a few minutes. That guy's pretty cool. He's really awesome. I've been able to interview him too.
I like that kid, man. He's 24. Like, his whole life's ahead of him, and to watch him work so hard is beautiful. It really is, man. I like, and it'll come out a little bit, but Rob can attest to this too. So one thing you guys may not know is that a lot of these independent wrestlers, or even wrestlers who are signed, a lot of them bounce ideas or ask for critiques from the Cam Hawkinses and the Rob Wilkinses and the Sean Ross Sapps and insert your name. Like, a lot of them do ask us for our opinion on what they do because they feel like our opinions matter and our tastes matter. And so, you know, I talk to Vinny a lot about the things he's doing and what he wants to do. But I love that kid's work ethic. He goes out and gets it for himself. He's not waiting for a handout. He doesn't just expect the things to work out for him. So shout out to Vinny, man. I like that kid for sure.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's I told him, I found out a couple of weeks ago that, or maybe it was a month ago or so, he wrestled here in Minnesota and I didn't know he was going to be here. Otherwise I would have gone out of my way to go see him. But yeah, the guy's awesome. I love what he's been able to do. He's built his name just by social media, just getting it out there and getting it out there and out there. So really, really happy for the guy that he's doing so well. And he's got a New Japan date like scheduled. So, or he's going to Japan, I believe is what he said. So stuff like that. So, that's just badass. So good for him.
It's a good kid. That's a good kid.
Yeah. So, one of the other topics, and we kind of talked about it earlier, but this WWE and, UFC mergers about to be completed. Do you see this changing much WWE wise?
I try to be an optimist. People lose their jobs in situations like this, and that sucks. You know what I mean? They tend to trim the fat, so to speak, and good people who are good at what they do lose their jobs. And I don't like that aspect of it. Outside of that, and again, that is the most important thing, so I'm not making light of it. I do like things streamlined. You know what I mean? Like, I do like kind of a governing body to kind of oversee how things are done. Now, what I love about WWE right now is that they're making money hand over fist. So less people will lose their jobs than in a different situation, right? They're running a show. They have Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Bianca Belair, Cody Rhodes, Rhea Ripley, Judgment Day, insert whoever, the Usos, insert whoever else you want to in that upper echelon. Whoever you want to put there, put them there.
Yeah.
They're very, very strong at the top. The crop that they have coming up, the Carmelo Hayes's, the Braun Breakers, the Tiffany Stratton's, they really have a class that is going to come up that's made of stars. You know, Trick Williams is figuring it out. They have a 6'4 former South Carolina receiver with brand new muscles who talks different than anybody in the game. Like, WWE got Booker T, but they got Booker T after WCW, and I think that stalled Booker T out. They have a way younger, way fresher Booker T styled wrestler. And I think that that can take them places. So at the top and at the bottom being who's up and coming, I think that WWE can push a portfolio to the company to say, look, we got what we need. I understand you're going to go in and do what you need to do, but we got what we need. We can run with this. I think they're in a good spot, man. I think that because they've been breaking so many records, because they've been selling out so many arenas, it's going to be way less pain than it would have been. Again, good people are probably going to suffer, and I hate that, but I think it's in a better position than it would be if they weren't doing so well.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the biggest thing, like, that I think almost everybody wants is we want this merger. We don't want anybody to lose their jobs. We never want that. And that's what we're hoping doesn't happen. It sounds like it's more than likely. I mean, it's, and granted, a lot of people that are like saying this don't fully know. And the ones that are that think they know, they don't yet. You know, they don't. It could just be on the office side. It could affect some people on the roster. I hope it doesn't. WWE has been doing really well about not releasing people. They've been letting their contracts run out, similar to the AEW route. So I'm hoping, if anything, they go that route. But I still don't want people to lose their jobs. And, you know, that's the biggest thing. It's going to be weird because for once in our lives, in everybody's lives, it's going to be the first time the WWE, WWF, WWWF is not owned by a McMahon. It's owned by somebody. I mean, somebody else is in charge of it. Like, it goes all the way almost to the top, but there's one person in charge of, above Vince. So it'll be weird. But we're going to play this interview from Seahawk that he had with Vinny, and then we're probably going to head out. Cam, you want to promote anything you got going on?
Really, this is kind of it right now, man. I did the thing with Vinny, doing some work. As far as writing goes, got a couple of things in the pipe. I had a really interesting conversation with WWE media last night about a potential interview, and it would take it's going to take very special talents to get it done. Look at my shirt. Think about what was on television yesterday. Think about who would have affiliation with both what I watched yesterday and what you watch in WWE. Again, it would take a very special situation to make that happen, but we're trying to do that. Kind of waiting on the next thing, man. Kind of waiting on the next thing. I think that there's a topic we talked about earlier that I really think would be a great story. And so I'm going to reach out about that.
Ooh.
But yeah, nothing to promote immediately right now, man. Keep watching this show. Yeah. That's what I got. And Rob, when we get done with the interview, we got to do our week one picks, man.
Okay.
We got to do our week one picks.
All sure. Right, we can do that. We do have a super chat though, so
shout out to Amir.
Yeah, Amir says, could we see Brock, Ronda, Lashley, Riddle, or any other former MMA fighter work UFC? Could we see Connor or John Jones work WWE? On the WWE side, I don't know necessarily, like, if that's something that they would. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, on the other side of that, Connor and John Jones, I could absolutely see. But
I wonder, you look at AEW and like Masvidal, right?
Yeah.
AEW, the MMA guys were not successful.
No.
They weren't. And I think that also AEW is an audience that doesn't give a damn about MMA.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think that didn't really work out. Now, Bobby Lashley is 47 years old. Bobby Lashley is strong and fast, and 99% of the people in the world cannot whoop Bobby Lashley's ass. The 1% that can are in the UFC. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's still feasible for him. I think Riddle might be long in the tooth. You know, I don't know if he can still adjust and train hard enough to get back and really be competitive. Now, Ronda, I think Ronda can absolutely have a UFC match, if for no other reason than she'll make a bunch of money and they'll make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
I don't know if Brock has that interest anymore.
Yeah.
Like when ESPN announced his WWE deal, I was like, oh, he doesn't want to do that anymore. Like, guys, getting beat up isn't fun. Even if you win a fight, getting beat up is not fun. That shit hurts. It's really painful. But on the flip side, I do think WWE is a big enough brand where a Conor McGregor can have a WWE match and it matter. John Jones, I don't think so. And the biggest reason is John Jones is still a viable fighter in UFC. I don't think a viable fighter in UFC would do a WWE match.
Yeah. Yep.
What the hell happened to Izzy last night?
No idea. It's like he gave up. Or like, I wouldn't say give up, but it's like he just was like, he was. It's like, mental-wise, it looked like he was just mentally done, is what I would say. It just looked like he was over. Like, he just wanted to get out of there. Yeah. He looked like that was the last place he wanted to be.
Izzy is a friend of a friend, and so I'm careful about the words that I use. But I do not understand his recent trajectory, man. I think he flew too close to the sun doing the catchweight fight. And I think that it's been bumpy ever since then.
Yeah. I mean, it just... I mean, that's just the way I looked at it, you know, so I just didn't feel like that's me. Like, I'm the last guy that should be like speculating on UFC, but it just looked like he didn't want to be there. That's the way I took it. But
I'm with you. I'm with you.
But we're going to play this interview and then we'll be back with our week one picks.
For sure.
Let's do this.
My man, Vinny Pacifico, what's good, baby?
How you doing? We're doing good. We're pushing forward. We're working hard. Been very busy lately, but as I say, busy is good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well. So let's talk about being busy. Since I've been like more in the wrestling media space, something that people like might know or don't know is that a lot of independent wrestlers specifically, while they have trainers and coaches and they have, you know, their peers who have signed different places, a lot of them come to people like me for ideas and advice and to bounce promos and stuff like that. Cause, you know, everybody's trying to find that next level.
Mm-hmm.
Like with you, you seem to have kind of found your own way. And it's really interesting. You know, everybody sells t-shirts, everybody's got stickers, and everybody can do cameo, but like you've kind of found a different lane. So like how does Vinny go from doing the same things as most independent wrestlers to like having brand deals? Like how does that come about?
See, I could not even tell you. So at first, yes, you're right. I was doing the same thing most people would be doing, you know, hustling, doing the same independent grind. Eventually, I found what works for me. I drink energy drinks. I talk very fast. I'm trying to talk slow right now, but I talk very fast. And I'm caffeinated a lot. I drink energy drinks, something I've been doing for years. Not the healthiest thing, but I do it. So I figured, how do I make myself marketable? Where's the hook in me? Cheeseburger, my mentor, trainer, all that.
My guy, one of the best guys in the business, for sure.
Truly, truly. Mm-hmm. One of my groomsmen, my wedding, actually. He said to me, Vinny, you're really good in the ring, but you need a hook. And I said, okay, great. And it took me a while to figure out what that is, because, you know, there's only so many people who are great wrestlers, but what's going to make you different and stand out from just being one of a great wrestler? So I said, I sat and thought for a while. Promo game, I brought that up as fast as I could. Meeting EC3. He is somebody who was also a mentor of mine. He helped me with my promo game times 10. As you can see, look at his promos. So over time, we brainstormed ideas for a character. Just something like that's marketable, or a name, Power Punch. You know, it's simple, it's effective. And it also sounds-ish like an energy drink would be, right? So I went with that. I introduced energy drinks at my entrance. Just doing them at my entrance. Bring an energy drink, do whatever, wrestle. So I found a way to include it in my promos, which I'm sure you've seen. I do them with skits backstage to character development. Get myself over, people over, the drink over, and just create free content that just does good business for everybody. Mm-hmm. So that stuck out. They started going more and more views each time, more and more. And then people would ask me to do them. You know, Gangrel loved doing them. He was probably the favorite one to do them with. So then I had a show in Oregon earlier this year. I used the drink as Popeye in the match. Like, I used the drink. So, crawled to the corner, drank it, hooked up, hit the whole comeback. And the comeback was one of my favorite ones I've ever hit in my career. And everything worked perfectly. Posted the clip. It went semi-viral. And I got hit up by Bang Energy with a contract 5 days later. Told the story before, but I'll tell you, because much of you heard it, it's funny. I was getting gas on the phone with Cheeseburger, and I get an email from Bang with the contract. And I'm like, this is fake. And I just scroll off. Yeah. And then Cheese is like, are you sure it's fake? And I'm like, yeah, there's no way. You talk a little more, get my gas, go to the store, hang up. I look at the email again, and it's a phone number, a signature, and everything at the bottom. So I'm like, maybe this is real. Signed it. And that, I think, is what put me on the map with Bang. Because first company to really endorse me was, Bang. A major company at that. I've had other small things, but Bang was huge. Over time, they were really happy with what I was doing, but it just, they were going through a lot with the lawsuit and all the stuff. So they weren't able to give me the full eyes that they wanted to put on me and stuff like that. So then my contract ends. And I'm sitting here. I'm like, damn, I have this great character, but being sponsored and losing that and not having that, having it and being like, damn, I don't have it anymore. I need to be valuable. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not saying that it'd be valuable, but I'm saying having it and losing it is just not ideal. Wasn't ideal at the time because the way things were going was like this all, constantly. So now I'm like, okay. It's
hard to make plans. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. And so all of a sudden, like, it's not even like one step forward, two steps back, but it's like, no, I made 5, 6, 7 steps. And like, dang, now I'm back 3. Like, okay, how do I maintain what I'm doing when all of a sudden I don't have the same level of support and notoriety? Yeah.
Exactly. So I got hit up for the Kurt Angle podcast. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is great. So that's a plus forward. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, what are some things I could hit that would also bring me forward? Mm-hmm. I got booked against Alex Shelley. That sprung me forward. And then I get hit up for New Japan. But then in this process, it's this whole, I'm telling you, I watched this, envisioned it, and it just happened within a week. All these things happened, and then I hit up the CEO of G Fuel. We talked prior. Great guy. Wonderful man. We talked prior. I reached out to him. Hey, my contract expired. Would you like to work together? I know that you usually don't use athletes. This is a different type of drink. G Fuel's mostly anime, gaming, you know, mm-hmm. influencers type of energy drink. Sonic, Spider-Man, you know. So and he said, you know what? And then one of the guys, Rob, called me. Says, Vinny, you know, we don't really do that. We don't do athletes, but we're gonna give you an opportunity. We're gonna see what you can do with this. We're gonna give you the shot, and we're gonna give you full faith and just see what you can do with it because you did go a bang. So thank you. It's all I need. So in the whole week, all this happened. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, I'm sitting on my couch and I'm like, there's no way this all just happened. And it did. So G Fuel is really invested in my career. They're sharing my stuff with their millions of followers. They're collabing on social media. They're giving me opportunities to do things that I'll get into soon. And it's just really, really special. And I think G Fuel is a brand that I'm going to be doing a lot with. And they're going to be also getting involved in wrestling somehow. They're going to be like helping me out in terms of like, for example, they're going to put like, for example.
They're going to put their name on your ass?
Something like that. You're going to be.
I make myself laugh.
Sometimes. We're working on something that will influence in wrestling somehow.
For sure.
But that didn't happen yet. That was not, it's being discussed heavily. We have something possible in the works that's going to be really, really crazy. And I think, I'm not sure, but it'll be very different for somebody on the indies to have this type of thing.
So let me ask you about that really quick. Shoot. So I remember, yeah. And so that's a little taste of it, man. I want to, I'm going to put that out properly later this week. Again, I love that kid, man.
He's awesome.
He works really, really hard. I want to see him be successful. And so, part of our jobs, as much as we do the news and reporting, we want this thing to keep going. Like, listen, Cameron Hawkins, not a journalist, not a journalist, even though I'm kind of a journalist by trade, I guess. I went to the college classes, but my biggest thing is like, I'm more effective as a personality, and that has helped me help more people. And so that's what we got going. So yeah, shout out to Vinny, man. I love that kid. He's on a plane right now. I was going to have him like on the show, but he's making moves like he does. Shout out to Vinny, man. I that's a hardworking young man. Works harder behind the scenes than most people. So shout out to Vinny. Yeah.
Very good dude. I like him a lot. Good guy. All right. So before we go out, we're going to do our week one picks. So let's do this. We saw Detroit and Kansas City last week. This past Thursday, Detroit got the win there. That surprised a lot of people.
They can't catch. How dare you? Like, they can't catch, Rob.
Yeah.
Like, I understand Patrick Mahomes' superpower is improvisation, but there were balls they should have caught.
Oh, yeah.
And they would have won if they just caught the ball. Not run after catch, not make a spectacular move, catch the football.
Yep. All right. Carolina and Atlanta.
I like Atlanta. Bijan Robinson, again, gave us his all right here in the heart of Texas. Listen, Bijan Robinson is the first man who I've dated my old lady for like a year. That's the first man who she's seen and been like, oh, she stopped and was like, listen, I brought her around. She was in a press conference with Roman Reigns, baby. She didn't care. Bijan Robinson stopped her. Listen, he's a stud to her. He's a stud to me in a different way. I think that Atlanta gets it done. Skill positions just overtake the Panthers. Atlanta for the win.
All right. I got Atlanta winning as well. Cincinnati at Cleveland.
Oh, Joe Burrow just got that money, baby.
Yep.
It's a wrap. I actually do not have like – actually, no, I can't say that. My friend's his agent, so I'm not going to say anything about the Cleveland quarterback. Okay. I just think Cincinnati's better.
Yeah. Cincinnati's going to get the victory here. Tony Khan's Jacksonville Jaguars in Indianapolis. Tony Khan's Jaguars going to get the victory today.
Hey, sorry, Eddie James. Jacksonville might have turned the corner, man.
Hey,
they got Calvin Ridley down there now. I think Jacksonville turned the corner. I think that they get the win.
I mean, you don't have
your running back.
Yeah.
I'm interested to watch Anthony Richardson and what he brings to the table, though.
Yeah, for sure. Then that's the thing. Like, I Anthony Richardson, I'm excited to see what he does. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Taylor not being there definitely hurts.
Yeah. He's out until week five? He's on the PUP, right?
I think he's like doing contract stuff. Isn't that why?
I do think it's contract.
But they do put him.
Somebody correct us if we're wrong, Eddie. You'll know better than us. But I think he's out until week five, based on how they designated him.
Yeah, they might have designated him that way. Now that you say that, I think you might be right. Tampa at Minnesota. My Vikings are going to get this victory. I think. Okay.
You believe in Kirk Cousins?
You like that? Yeah, I do.
I'm interested to see what Baker Mayfield does with all that talent. But I agree. I think Minnesota wins. I do not think, as much as I like their secondary, I don't know who can really hang with Justin Jefferson. So, yeah.
Yep. So he's right.
He's out till week five. Yeah.
So, Tennessee at New Orleans. This is a tough one.
Tennessee, I'm really interested to see Derrick Henry's yards per carry after all that wear and tear. I still say Tennessee, though.
I think New Orleans is going to get the victory. Who is
their quarterback?
It's
Derek Carr,
David,
right?
Yeah, Derek Carr. I was going to say David Carr. I'm like, he's not there. It's not David Carr. He's gone. He long gone. This is going to be a good game, I think. San Francisco at Pittsburgh. But San Francisco,
I like San Francisco, man. Yeah. I think Pittsburgh, they'll be better. I think they're still figuring it out. I'm anxious to watch. Like, I want to see George Pickens' highlights because he's incredible. I think San Francisco continues on that role. Like, a great defense in the regular season is unmatched. If they can play up to that level, I think they'll still win.
Yeah. Arizona at Washington. I know you're I don't even need to ask you. I know this one. But he's going with the Washington Washington Generals, right? Or no, what are they called now? Washington football team.
Fuck you, Rob. How about that?
I know.
I do think Washington wins, if for no other reason than backup quarterback starting, crazy efficient D-line, a vastly improved secondary, and Terry McLaurin being the fixer. I do not see Washington struggling. I think that they win by two scores.
Okay. That was just me having fun. The Commanders.
I hope you had fun, motherfucker.
I'm going to do that every week. Commanders are going to get this victory, as much as I don't like to say that. Oh, man. Houston.
Hey, real quick, I'm sorry. Eddie James, my opinion on Will Levis, if he was black, he wouldn't have been drafted. That's my opinion.
I don't have an opinion on him because I don't know much about him.
Yeah, Kentucky quarterback. Yeah.
I mean, I remember, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm with you.
We'll see. Houston at Baltimore.
Baltimore is going to run away with this. This is going to be disgusting. That's my local CBS game. Oh, it's going to be nasty. Oh, God. I feel bad. Listen, DeMarco Murray didn't die for this. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
They got Zay Flowers. They got OBJ. They got Mark Andrews and 1,000 running backs and Lamar Jackson. Yeah, this is going to be disgusting.
OBJ is out, though, I believe. I think he's injured.
Is he out with a knee?
Yeah, I think something's out. Something hurt. Something's gone.
Zay Flowers showed so much flash. Skill players are so interesting in that you got a guy who's been in the league for 5 years who is okay, and a rookie can just come in and just flash and have different talent. Zay Flowers looks like way more than Hollywood ever did. I think Baltimore's going to be good this year. They got 5 or 6 teams in the AFC. And listen, if you don't think that teams are licking their chops after the Chiefs losing in week one, oh, God, you are going to see an explosion today. Pause.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at, so OBJ was added to the injury, but I don't know if he's been ruled out yet. So somebody can probably tell me. I haven't been able to look. Green Bay at Chicago. I think Green Bay gets this win. I think Jordan Love is Beckham is playing, so Andrews is out.
Shout out to Greg. I'm from Upper Marlboro, baby, but I'm too old to be a Baltimore fan, but I still show love for sure.
So, Beckham. I know Beckham was on the injured list, but Greg came out and told us good. Chicago and Green Bay. Green Bay at Chicago, rather. Green Bay, I think Jordan Love's. I'm curious to see Chicago. I mean, they sucked last year, and I think they're not going to be much better this year. That's just my opinion. I know, but
I like who Green Bay has on defense. I'm a big fan of Quay Walker. I do think Green Bay does enough now. Justin Fields finally has a number one receiver. So I'm interested to see their connection. But, yeah, I feel like Green Bay just has a mental advantage over them. So I got Green Bay, too, for sure.
All right. I have Green Bay. Las Vegas at Denver.
Russell Wilson, you got to get it done. Yeah. I think that they do turn around. I like Sean Payton, even though, you know, he tries to literally hurt people for money. I like Sean Payton, though. I got Denver winning. I think they're going to right the ship. That defense is spectacular. Russell Wilson, I feel like you don't lose creativity. You lose strength and speed. But I think he's so creative, he's still going to get it done. I like Denver in that game.
Yeah. This one, Jimmy Garoppolo just doesn't do it for me. I just don't.
But he's so handsome, Rob.
Yeah, well, this doesn't do anything for me. The thing is no matter what happens, Russell Wilson still wins. He gets to go home to Ciara. So, but the Broncos win.
Yeah.
So, Philadelphia at New England. I don't like this because I don't like Philadelphia, But
why don't you like Philadelphia, Rob?
Because Philadelphia sucks.
Oh, they are going to run the Patriots out the gym.
I know.
I love watching Jalen Hurts play. I love watching that offense play. He is them figuring out an offense for him, but it's not like college Tebow was really like, we can maximize what you do and put the most skilled players around you. But no, Jalen Hurts is a talent. Like, he really is a talent.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I love watching him play. That's going to be fun. They are running the Patriots out the gym.
Yeah, I will never. Jalen Hurts is a hell of a player. I like watching him play. The Eagles are going to win.
We beat his ass last year. That's all I know. Washington whooped that ass on Monday night. So I was good with whatever they did. So yeah,
Miami at the Chargers, LA Chargers.
I really like Justin Herbert. Tua is very good. I wonder if another guy was in there, if they'd be better. I like the Chargers in this game, but it's a toss-up. It really is.
Yeah, it really is a toss-up, this one, I think, because Miami is one of those teams that just – you never know if they're going to – well, they always – they never figure it out. I mean, we know that, but
they surprise you. The word you're looking for.
Don't tell me to spell it because I won't. I'm going to go with Miami, but like I said, I don't, this game's like a toss up for me. It really is.
I want to see Miami be a good team. I love all that speed that they have. I was a big Chip Kelly, Oregon fan. So I love seeing speed do crazy things. I just don't know if it's enough to beat what I think is a better quarterback on the other side.
The LA Rams at Seattle. I'm having Seattle win this.
Seattle seemed to figure it out. Geno Smith is finally in position. DK Metcalf's a monster. The Rams do not have Jalen Ramsey. I like Seattle.
Yep. Dallas at New York for the 12th year in a row on opening Sunday Night Football, it feels like. I know you're excited for this. Two of your teams. That you
I don't
hate.
Even dislike New York. I fucking hate the Cowboys.
I know you do.
You know,
I got the Cowboys.
Tony Pollard, I think he's very, very good. I also think he benefited from being the other guy. You know what I mean? It's going to be interesting. I know CeeDee Lamb was all pro last year. It's going to be interesting to see if he can capitalize. I have no faith in Daniel Jones. Like, I think that Daniel Jones manipulated stats last year. That's not no fault on him. Do your thing.
You paid,
I do think that the Cowboys are very, very loaded offensively. If they're healthy on defense, they're good. I like the Cowboys too.
Yeah. All right. So then the Monday Night Football game, everybody and their mother's picking the Jets. I just have Buffalo winning. That's just me.
My favorite quarterback to ever play the game thinks that the COVID-19 vaccine is fake, and everybody he's related to thinks he's a piece of shit.
I didn't know Josh Allen. I didn't know Josh Allen felt that.
Oh, wow, Josh. No, I've always said it. There's nobody who's ever been more must-watch playing the quarterback position than Aaron Rodgers. All due respect to Michael Vick. Aaron Rodgers is a masterclass of playing quarterback because Tom Brady's great, but Aaron Rodgers is an athlete. And so it was so fun to watch him. They're so stacked up, man. They got guys at quarterback, wide receiver, running back, D-line, and secondary. Linebackers are fine, but like, they're so stacked up everywhere. I got to go Jets, man. I love Josh Allen. I got to go Jets, man. I think the Jets get it done. Yeah. If for no other reason than if they don't get it done, this was all for naught. and I'm not one to rain on everybody's parade. So I got to say Jets.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. I understand why, but this is a good one. He's Olivia Munn, Danica Patrick.
Listen, guys, fumbling bad bitches is very easy, okay? It's very easy. I've done it 28 times. It's very easy, okay? Like, I understand the vitriol, but it's very easy to fumble a woman who is a very high value. Not high value like YouTube, high value of you can see things going great with her. It happens, guys, okay? He's just kind of an idiot outside of the football. So,
all right. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, man. Twitter, Instagram, Seahawk, C-E-E-H-A-W-K. You can find my writing on theringer.com. Most recently, talk to my man MJF about his desire, his hopes, his dreams, and his belief that he will be the greatest AEW champion of all time. You can also find my fighting or my words on fightful.com. Yeah, and then we got things coming in the pipe. Just keep your eyes peeled.
All right, guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on Twitter or X, whatever the hell you want to call it. You can also find me on Threads and Instagram at Fightful Rob. And then every Friday at 3 o'clock on Fightful Overbooked for Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. We have a fun show that goes around the same time length as this one, and we just have a good old time. So I want to say thank you for tuning in, and thank you for joining us. You know how it goes. We will see you next week. Peace out. Go Longhorns. Go Noles.
Longhorns, baby. Yeah,
there you go. Peace out, guys. Enjoy week one of the NFL. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.